the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, recently we've seen a downturn in some of the real estate statistics. As housing peaked, we're seeing pending home sales come down, surveys dropping slightly. Has the real estate market peaked, and is it still a good investment? What is impacting it? We know interest rates are rising. Joining us on the program from Real Wealth is Kathy Fetke, co-founder. And Kathy, let's begin with the recent statistics that we've seen in real estate. Existing home sales have been declining. I mean, they're still good, but they've been heading down. Construction spending has been weak. The housing survey has been declining, although it's still in very positive territory, well above 50. New home sales have been declining. In your mind, has housing peaked, or is this just a temporary low in the market?
Well, there is no housing market, as you know. So it really depends on the market, and it depends on affordability levels and demand and supply and all of those things. So if you hone into certain markets, yeah, they're absolutely slowing down, as they should. We have the Federal Reserve raising rates for a reason, to curb inflation. And while inflation overall has been around 2%, in housing, wow, you know, some areas it's been 8 to 10 to 12 to 15% per year. And that's simply unsustainable. So as rates go up, that is slowing things down in markets where it needed to slow down, where prices were just getting out of control.
You know, that's interesting because in many ways, the housing market's like the stock market. Even though we might have seen a correction in the stock market, it depends on what sector you're looking at. If you were looking at utilities, they're doing well. So I guess it depends on what sector of the market or what region of the country you're looking at. Let's begin with California because, as anybody knows, housing is expensive here. I don't care if you're looking at the median home price in San Francisco, Los Angeles, or San Diego. So you have rising mortgage rates, which is coming from the Federal Reserve, which is helping that. You also have this affordability issue. And Kathy, what about the third issue, which is taxation, where, you know, for, I guess, listeners in the Midwest, a limit of $10,000 on property tax deductions doesn't affect most people. But in California, it does.
Sure. Yeah. And we are seeing an impact. If you're a real estate agent in California, specifically in vacation areas, you're going to feel a slowdown in sales. Not necessarily prices, although we are seeing price declines across the board. And that really tends to be prices that were too listed. It was listed too high to begin with, right? I'm guilty of that. We put a property on the market just to test it, just to see if someone would be crazy and pay top dollar, and it didn't work. We had to come back to what is normal. So you're going to call that a price reduction when it's really just priced at where it should be. So, you know, a lot of the greed will come out of the market now because people have to be more realistic, especially in the areas where there are vacation homes because people don't get the same write-offs they got before. And in the really high-priced markets, you're just not getting those deductions. But really, I'm not sure that's it so much as, well, it's a combination, right, of higher prices, higher mortgage rates, less tax deductions, and we're seeing a slowdown, which is exactly, like I said, like what we need. But in other markets, like if you just go a little bit outside, you know, say LA or San Francisco, if you say Sacramento, for example, or Riverside, it's still booming because prices are affordable there and they haven't hit their max yet.
You know, it was interesting. We were talking before we went on the air. I was in Nevada, Lake Tahoe, in the month of August on vacation. And I stopped in Reno just taking a look at real estate there. And the realtors were telling me it is just absolutely booming. They're getting a just migratory wave of Californians. You sell a home in California and you go to Reno, it looks like a bargain. And they were telling us they can't build enough houses. Google just bought 1,300 acres next to Tesla. You've got a lot of high-tech companies moving in there. So is real estate really a regional or location place now? Because, you know, if you look at San Francisco, LA, San Diego, that might be different than, let's say, if you're talking about Sacramento or Reno.
Yeah, you know, it's all about timing. Like if you invested in Blockbuster, say, you know, maybe you did really well, but if you weren't watching, you know, the trends, then you would have not done so well in the end, right? So you've got to look at the same trends with real estate. And a lot of times people don't, they don't know what trends to look for. What we look for is job growth, population growth, and affordability. Those are the three metrics that are most important when looking at real estate as an investment. Now, if you're going to buy a property and live there for your whole life, then it doesn't matter, right? You just find a place you love and you stay there and hopefully you can afford the payment and over time you pay it off. So I'm not talking about somebody, you know, looking to raise their family and live in a home for their life. But what I am talking about is an investment. And so you have to treat it that way and look at the dynamics. And you're right. At a time when San Francisco prices and San Jose home prices are so high that you can have a job that pays you $150,000 a year and you're still broke. You know, you're still considered in the poverty level, you know. And then you find out that just 3 hours away in Nevada, in Reno, there's no state income tax. That makes a big difference. And the home prices are maybe a third or a fourth of what you're paying in the Silicon Valley. So at the same time, when people are saying, oh, housing is slowing down. Yeah, it is slowing down in the Silicon Valley because it's reached its peak. But it is booming just 3 hours away in Reno. And the employers see the same thing. They say, wow, we can pay people a lot less if we just move our operations or part of our operations to a place like Reno or Austin, Texas, or Orlando, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. These are all areas where tech companies are going because they can pay people less and those people can actually live better. We saw this because we look at these metrics. We saw what was happening in Reno with the TRIC center there. It's the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and it is the largest industrial center in the world. So we knew massive job growth was going there, massive population growth. So we tied up about 250 lots, and we are building in Reno. And you are right. These homes are selling faster than we can build them.
You know, this is an interesting dynamic because let's talk about this tax law and what it might change. I know in our own practice, Kathy, I would say about 25% of our clients who are retiring are choosing to move elsewhere for two reasons. Number one, they can sell their house here in San Diego or Los Angeles and San Francisco. They can get a lot of money for it. And then you can go, as we were talking about, you can go to Reno, you can go to Arizona, you can go to Texas. And what you sell your house for here is going to buy you a lot more house for less money someplace else. Not to mention if you go to, let's say, Nevada or Texas, you pay no state income taxes, or in Arizona, you pay very little. Are you seeing that with your clientele that they're choosing to, let's say, buy real estate in other areas of the country where it's much more affordable, or even choosing to move to other areas of the country?
Oh, 100%. I mean, those are the demographics, people moving to Texas and Florida because of the tax, and of course, Nevada, because if you are retiring and you're eliminating the 10 or 13% state income tax from California, that makes a big difference when you're on a fixed income, let alone you can sell your older property that hasn't been updated, and you can sell it for top dollar and buy a brand new home in, say, Florida or Texas or Nevada. That is your dream home. But the houses we're building in Reno are really beautiful. They're 4 or 5 bedroom homes, lots of volume, gorgeous kitchens, and they're $800,000. I mean, do you know what you could get for $800,000 in San Francisco? Like nothing. Maybe a 1 bedroom condo. So yes, people are absolutely trading up and moving out, and that's what we've been doing with real estate investors for 20 years. In 2005, when we were in the same situation, when home values had just gone through the roof and California was in a massive bubble, we were helping people sell their investment property and buy in Texas, Dallas specifically. They could sell one dump in, say, Stockton, California. One woman came to me with 3 really old dilapidated properties in a C, even D class neighborhood in Stockton. She sold all 3 for about $400,000. And I was able to help her buy 9 brand new homes just outside of Dallas that rented for the same amount. So she quadrupled her income, and over time, she's tripled her equity as well. Whereas the person who bought her Stockton homes for $400,000, they were worth about $75,000 when the market crashed. So like I said, you've got to see the trends. You've got to stay on top of things. These aren't the days where you can invest in something and forget about it for 30 years. That's not prudent anymore.
You know, this is interesting because it brings up a dynamic that we're seeing in real estate. You know, since World War II, with the advent of the baby boomers, of which I'm one of them, you saw this wide influx of population work its way through the job market, the housing market, and real estate was kind of like a one-way investment. You bought a house, I don't care if you live there 5 years, 10 years, generally real estate prices went up. That changed, obviously, in the Great Recession. And isn't it changing now? I mean, there are a lot of millennials, for example, that are choosing to live at home, choosing to rent in the city rather than choosing to buy. How much influence does that have on the housing market?
Yeah, millennials today are really getting married later. They are having babies later, and they are saddled with debt. So we're seeing a lot of rental demand. But we're also seeing a lot of millennials buying. So when you look at demographics, and you've got millennials that are in their 20s, but you've also got some nearing their late 30s, these are very different subsets of millennials. So the older ones are doing what their parents did, and they're buying homes, and they're settling down and having families. The younger group, you know, they're figuring life out, and they're mobile, and they're traveling. But many of the millennials we work with they're brilliant because they have access to information and data that we never had. So, you know, they have access to so much information, and they are wise, I think. I know they get a lot of bad rep, right? But at the same time, they are out there buying investment properties. If they say, hey, I'm going to move around a lot, then I'll just buy an investment property and get into the game. So those are some of the people that we're working with, and we see them doing great things.
Kathy, let's contrast the tax law that was passed and went into effect this year, its impact on, let's say, individual levels, where the mortgage deduction was limited to $750,000, where before it was $1 million plus, I think, $100,000 for a second mortgage. Then you had the cap on property taxes to $10,000. And then you had the elimination of state tax deductions. So that's in terms of how it impacts, let's say, an individual. Let's contrast a individual homeowner to an individual investor buying rental property. Did anything change there to make either real estate more favorable or less favorable?
That is such a good question, and one I'm not asked very often, but I would love to answer it. People don't realize that if they buy investment property, they get an enormous amount of deductions. So many people say, oh, I need to buy a home, thinking a primary residence, because they want the deduction. But it's never really been that great. It's very minimal. Just writing off your you know, mortgage deduction, it's not a game changer. If people only knew that when they buy investment property, they get to write off almost everything. I'm not a CPA, and I don't want to, you know, talk to your CPA about this, but it's always been better from a tax perspective to buy investment property. And then with the tax reform, it got even better. And many of the write-offs that we got before remained, but then we got some new ones. So, you know, it's really never been a better time to buy investment property, because you have this huge population, as I said, that is forming households, but saddled with debt. They can't necessarily buy a home, so they're going to be renting. And again, if you look at that millennial population, that's one of the largest, what is the largest today, and they are forming households. They like their pets. They like yards. A lot of people thought that they would be living in condos or downtown high rises, but many of them want a yard for their pets. So, you know, there is demand for rental property and a great opportunity for someone to buy a home, or if they're going to buy a new home, rent out their old home and just take advantage of massive, massive deductions that don't apply to your primary residence or your vacation home anymore. Those just are not as attractive from a tax perspective. But we also got something lately that is phenomenal. It came with a tax bill, but it's not finalized yet. It's called the Opportunity Zone. And I'll tell you what, that is the opportunity truly of a lifetime, because for the first time ever, you can sell a stock, you could sell a business or real estate, and you can take all the gain and just the gain. If you invest it into a business in an Opportunity Zone, then you can defer paying tax on that gain until 2026. And whatever you invested in, if you hold it for 10 years, you pay no tax on the gain. So it's an incredible opportunity. The whole point was to get investor dollars into these opportunity zones, which are areas that need the money. They need improvement and revitalization. And some areas won't maybe make the best investment. They're too far out, maybe too rural. But there are some opportunity zones, just areas zoned in this opportunity zone, that are just right where we would be investing anyway, because we like areas that are right in the path of progress, where we already see a lot of government dollars going in to improve infrastructure, and yet the real estate hasn't, it's still cheap. It hasn't boomed yet, but we know it's in the path of progress. So these are the opportunities. These are the places where people can literally sell a stock if they want and invest it in an opportunity zone, either real estate or business. Very exciting. Talk to your CPA about that.
That's incredible. So if I'm, let's say, Larry Lots of Bucks and I work at Facebook and I'm worth a lot of money in Facebook stock, let's say I want to retire early, I sell my stock and I can invest it in a real estate opportunity zone, I defer the tax. And if I hold it 10 years, I pay zero tax.
You pay zero tax on the new investment. So let's say you had a $100,000 gain and you could invest that in a property that, there's a lot of rules around it, but you invest it in a property and that property after 10 years has a $100,000 gain, or 200 or 300 if you did it right, you know, then you don't pay any money on that new gain, but you do still have to pay the gain on that original 100,000. But it's stepped up a little. So you get a 15% discount. So you'd only pay tax on $85,000 of the 100,000, but you get the new gain tax-free. I mean, it's unbelievable, but you do have to hold it 10 years. And again, there are rules. You have to buy in these designated zones, but they're all across the country. There's 8,000 zones, and you'd be shocked. There's some in LA, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose. Like, you know, these don't look like highly distressed areas, but they're just, compared to the other neighborhoods, they're lower income. And the different mayors got to submit the areas that they wanted these investor dollars to go to. So it's really, really exciting. We've been doing webinars and live events on this topic so people can get prepared, because the final rules are not out yet, but almost we have a very good idea of what they are at this point.
Kathy, let's take a situation, and we'll start with our own state of California. This could apply to New York, New Jersey, or any other place where real estate is overpriced. The affordability index is low because of price appreciation and just everything is expensive. So you take somebody that worked in California and New York, they getting ready to retire. So the kids have grown up, they've gotten off to college, married. Mom and dad decide to retire, sell the house for lots of bucks because New York and California is expensive. How much more sense does it make when you're trying to hold on to dollars as much as you can, where you might be entering a period of your life where your income is going to be fixed, to sell the expensive property in California, New York? Typically, New Yorkers go to Florida, and let's say Californians go to Nevada, Arizona, or Texas. How much more sense does that make today? Because you can sell prices for a home here for a very high price. Let's say jump across the border where you're building into Reno. Because we had a client in San Francisco that sold her townhome and moved to Reno, bought a house with a yard. So her dog actually has a little area now for almost 40% of what she sold her house or townhome in San Francisco. And not only does she have a house with a yard, but she also has money left over to invest to live off of.
Yeah, it is amazing. That is what Californians have been doing for a long, long time. They would move up to Oregon and Washington and anywhere where Californians would move. The locals didn't like it so much because we'd come in and everything looks cheap to us. So we drive prices up in these areas. That, of course, happened in Phoenix and Las Vegas and wherever California money goes. And the same with New York. You'll probably see prices going up. Now, we have 10,000 people retiring every single day. So if you can figure out where they're going and you can buy investment property there or your own property, you know, you're probably going to make some money. So it is a very important metric to look at. Where are people going? And there's all kinds of demographic charts for that. U-Haul comes out with their study every year saying, where are people moving? Where are more trucks going? And number one on the list was Texas, and number two was Florida. And you know what was last on the list? California, number 50, where people are going. If you look at, you know, United Van Lines, it was the first place, and this is people who don't want to move their own stuff. They're having someone else do it, so maybe a little bit higher income. They're moving to, you know, Seattle area and Portland. So, you know, yes, if you can find the data, and that's what I'm crazy about. I'm always trying to look at where are these trends, and you can get ahead of that. It's incredible. You might not know Montana, Bozeman, Montana. It is booming. We bought some land there and we're building houses there too. And people were like, Bozeman, what? But it is a very attractive place to retire. There's not massive job growth, which used to be our number one metric we'd look at. When you're looking at retirees, they're not looking for jobs. They're looking for a great place to live. And Bozeman, Montana has all these restaurants and a cute downtown and, you know, hiking and mountains and skiing and things that people, fishing, you know, things that people might like to do in retirement. So we're going to see changes over the next 10 years. You can't look at the last 10 years to gauge your strategy because we are at a pivotal point right now. Everything is changing. You've got to really look at where things are headed. And with this many people retiring, most of them not in a position to do so, they didn't save well and they're going to live longer, they're going to have to find cheaper areas to live. On the flip side, you might have somebody, and I've got lots of people at Real Wealth Network in this boat, they don't want to move. They love San Francisco and they love New York City. So one way that they can make that work is they can Airbnb rooms, they can go on vacation and rent out rooms for top dollar. So again, that's how some people manage to retire in more expensive areas. Maybe they've paid their home off and they just want to stay there. You know, so it just depends on how you want to live your golden years.
You know, you just brought up an interesting point because I have a client that just retired. They own a home here in San Diego. It's probably worth maybe $950,000. It's just a, you know, middle-class tract home. And what they decided, they didn't want to move because this is where the kids are. This is where their grandkids are. And what they do is they rent out their house, Airbnb, which brings in a couple grand a month. And they're using that to supplement their retirement income.
You bet. Yeah. And it's fun. You get to meet people. My mother-in-law has been doing that since we know when what's called a bed and breakfast. Remember those? She's been doing that and loves it. You know, she gets to make breakfast for people and meet people from all over the world. And now through Airbnb, you can get a little background on them and make sure that they're legit. So, you know, it is an exciting time. That's exactly how we afford our lifestyle in California is we have a little guest house. It's become easier to build a guest house with new laws. So look into that. If you want to stay and you have room to put a little, you know, rental, it's gotten easier with the ADU laws. So accessory dwelling unit, look that up if you want to stay because there is tremendous need for these rentals. I don't know if you know this, but there's the traveling nurses. These are nurses who they only live in an area for, say, 30 days. And you can rent your space for 30 days instead of nightly. And then you're not paying the higher taxes. If you're acting like a hotel, you kind of have to pay those hotel taxes. But if you have a 30-day rental, then it, in most cases, removes you from that. It becomes a longer-term rental. And you can look at people who need to be in the area for 30 days and might pay more for a furnished rental than if you were just to rent it, you know, for a year.
So if we were to sum up looking at the real estate market, I guess it's all regional, as we talked about. San Francisco, it's expensive. You know, you go to Stockton or Sacramento, it's much cheaper. If you are retiring, obviously, with on a fixed income, it just makes so much more sense to go where your housing dollars buy more home for less money and maybe free up some capital. So if you were to boil down these pivotal points, we've got, as we talked about, 10,000 boomers retiring every single day. That's going to impact the housing market. And then you also have another generation, the millennials, which you broke up into two categories, young millennials in their 20s who may be mobile, maybe they're renting, maybe they're living at home. And then you also have the millennials in their 30s now that are basically starting families and looking to settle down, and they're in the housing market. So outside of those things, what other changes do you see as a pivot point here that might direct where real estate's heading?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, one thing that people are concerned about is that there will be suddenly a surplus of homes as baby boomers age. And that's something to keep in mind, but I don't think it, I think we're 10 to 20 years out on that, because I'm a baby boomer and I am not going to age. I'm going to do everything I can to stay young forever. And that's the difference. So you'll hear some reports of, oh yeah, once the baby boomers, you know, die and they've got empty houses, you're going to have a surplus. I just don't see it happening anytime soon. But it's something to keep in mind. So the way I look at it is, for the next 10 years, you've got these millennials, the youngest are what, 23, 24, they're going to be big buyers in 10 years or so, or even for the next 10 years. And then you've got a lot of, you know, the baby boomers living a long time and not giving up those homes, not adding to the supply. So it will probably be tight inventory for some time. We know that new inventory is coming online, but it's not the right stuff. So a lot of builders have overbuilt condos. Sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it? And they've overbuilt multifamily apartments in Dallas, in Seattle, in New York. So if you think, oh, you know, I want to be a real estate investor and I'm going to buy an apartment, you need to understand the demand. And in some areas, we're seeing rents decline because there's just too much multifamily coming online. But that's not true for single family, because builders are simply unable to build anything affordable. It's just, they can't. So because it costs more to build and because there's more demand for single family, I do believe that the single family market will remain stable for a while, especially considering the people who got loans in the last 10 years, they are solid. They had to qualify for those loans and they locked in really low rates and they bought before prices went up. So you have a very different dynamic today where people are sitting on equity on very low rates. The rates today are higher. So people aren't going to move. You know, they're not going to say, you know, I can't afford this place. I'm going to go get a higher interest rate or pay higher rent somewhere else. It's not going to happen. So you have more people who will be staying put and more people creating households and looking for a place. So we think that one of the best opportunities today is to buy kind of an older home, make it nice and new, and rent it. And there will be a big demand for that for years to come.
I couldn't agree more. And especially, you know, about staying in homes with boomers, because one of the impacts of this tax law is if you're under the old tax law, you bought a home, you still can deduct up to $1 million and $100,000 on a second mortgage. If you go out and buy a new home, then the new tax law comes in and you're limited to $750,000. So in your perspective, at least real estate looks really good. But once again, you have to know the direction of real estate, the kind of real estate, and where it's located. And I guess, Kathy, it gets back to those three famous words about investing in real estate: location, location, location.
Absolutely. And timing, timing, timing. So you have this amazing opportunity to cash in, sell at the peak and buy in one of these areas that just at the beginning of the boom. I mean, that's what we've been helping people do for decades now, is like time the market, sell at the peak and buy at the trough. Like this woman in Stockton, she sold at the peak and she bought in the beginning of the boom in Dallas. She never even felt the last recession. She didn't even know there was one, because all she had was more equity and more cash flow.
Sounds like a great story. Kathy, if individuals would like to find out more about the work of your company, you deal with investment properties, either group or single family rentals, and you also put on a lot of real estate education. Tell them how they could find out more about what you do with your group.
Well, thank you. It's called Real Wealth Network. Real like real estate, wealth like your money, and network as in the network we have nationwide to help you find investment property. RealWealthNetwork.com, and it's free to join. You'll get access to an enormous amount of data on where the jobs are going, where the population's going, why we like certain cities and we think they're on the verge of booming, and which cities really have maxed out and it's time to get out. And then also I have the Real Wealth Show, which is a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
All right. As always, we appreciate you coming on the program. Great stuff, and thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
That concludes my interview with Kathy Fetke. Rather interesting comments on real estate. It's almost like where you're investing in the stock market. In high-priced areas like San Francisco or Los Angeles and San Diego, well, you can just go maybe a couple hundred miles or even less than that and find cheaper properties. What's also interesting is what's going on with the retired population in these high-priced states, whether you're living in New Jersey, New York, or California. Well, a lot of people are just deciding to pack up, sell the expensive home, go someplace else where you either pay no taxes or the cost of living is much cheaper. It's certainly becoming a viable option when it comes to retirement planning. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.